Welcome to week two of the Your Sacred Business program. This is Joanna Lindenbaum, Master Coach and CEO at Soulful Coaching, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. Today we are going to begin to explore and help you get clear on the topic of your soul-centered offerings. Those are your products, and your services, and all of the things that you offer out into the world.
This is going to be not only a very powerful training call and topic, but it's also a very fun training call that will really get you dreaming and visioning and getting your creative juices flowing. So let's get started by getting grounded and centered and settled. So I invite you to set the intention to bring yourself fully present, no matter where you are. And I don't want you to do this for me. I want you to do this because you are invested in yourself, and you are invested in your work. I don't want you to do this because you're an A-plus student that always gets it right, but I invite you to set the intention to bring yourself fully present as a gift that you give yourself right here and right now. Instead of being in a pattern of breaking yourself, your attention, and your focus into many little pieces, right, the way that we so often do throughout the day, I invite you to bring your body and your mind, your soul, and your heart into alignment. This is so that you can show up for yourself and for your work fully. And this is so that you can show up to serve all of those ideal clients that you are meant to serve. And so with that, I invite you to focus on your breath. Inhale and exhale. Breathe through your heart into your belly. As you inhale, open up. And as you exhale, let go. Inhaling, opening up. Exhaling and letting go of whatever you don't need. Connecting with your body. Connecting with your heart. Connecting with how you feel in this moment. And from this place, I invite you to see the part of yourself that needs for everything to be perfect all of the time. I want you to see little misperfection inside of yourself. Really see that perfectionist part of you that lives inside, and really see that one clearly for a moment. Notice what that one looks like. Notice how your perfectionist self wears his or her hair. And as you inhale and exhale, I want you to sense into the energy of your perfectionist self. This is the one that needs to get it right no matter what. This is the one who maybe blames or judges herself, or maybe blames or judges others when it's not exactly perfect. And as you breathe in and out, really connect into the energy of the one who is always attempting to attain that thing that as human beings we can never attain, and that thing is perfection. And as you see this perfection as self, and as you step into the very important work that we're going to be doing today, I invite you to ask that perfectionist part of yourself, the one that needs to get it right no matter what, I invite you to ask him or her to step aside. Ask that one to step aside so that your path can be fully open without any obstacles in your way of being creative around your offerings and goals, so that you can have a pathway, be fully open to your passion, so that in the willingness to not get it perfect, to not be perfect, you find the truth of life, which is the ability to just do it. So right here, right now, ask that perfectionist self to step aside. Let's take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out. And then allow your eyes to flutter open. Beautiful. So today we are diving deep into your soul-centered offerings and your income goals. And what this means is that you'll be getting very clear on what you're actually going to be offering to your clients. That's your programs or your packages, your products, and that includes your rates. And then we'll also be getting clear around how many people you want to serve in each offering and how much income you would like to make. Being clear on your offerings and your goals are vital to being able to become visible to your target audience and to earn money from your business. When you're not clear on your offerings or your goals, then you are likely to be very wishy-washy or vague or blasé when it comes to marketing your offerings and then working towards achieving your goals. And that's because when you're not clear yourself on what you're actually offering or what you actually want to achieve, then it's infinitely more difficult to attract others to join you in it. Imagine, as an example, that a car salesperson was trying to sell a car, but she wasn't clear on all of the car's features. She didn't know what colors the car came in, or if it were four-wheel drive, or if it was automatic or manual, or what speed the car could get to, or if buying the car also included roadside maintenance or routine gas changes. If the salesperson wasn't clear on all of this, it would be pretty difficult for that salesperson to sell the car, right? So that's why you want to get very clear on what your offerings are. Now, by now, I hope that most of you have done your homework on sacred purpose, which again is your soul-centered vision, your soul-centered mission, and your ideal client or your target audience. And it's been wonderful to see the shares of the homework assignments on the Ning group. So with that important work in place, you've set the foundation in order to go deep and get detailed and very clear around what your actual offerings and goals are. So as I mentioned last week, your sacred purpose is at the heart of your offerings. Now, this is very important, and I want you to write this down. The most effective and successful offerings and goals are always supported by and plug back in to your sacred purpose. I'll say that again. The most effective and successful offerings and goals are always supported by and plug back in to your sacred purpose. So as you create your offerings and your goals this week, if you check in with them and they don't fit into your vision or your mission or your ideal client, then chances are you're going to lose the motivation and the inspiration to carry out those goals or to offer those offerings in ways that are energized and feel aligned and passionate. So why is this? Well, for a few reasons. Number one, as I'm sure you are beginning to see, your sacred purpose comes straight from your inner wisdom and who you are as your most authentic self. And your most authentic self is also your most inspired and inspiring self. Number two. Hopefully your sacred purpose is stretching you a little bit. Hopefully what you created for yourself around sacred purpose feels like a little bit of a stretch. Not one that feels pressure-filled, but a healthy stretch. And again, healthy stretching creates inspiration and motivation. Now, the third reason why you really want your offerings and your goals to plug in to your sacred purpose is because your sacred purpose encourages you to connect in with your value and the value of your work. And you 110% need to know your worth and own your worth and celebrate your worth in order to truly make yourself visible and also to put a price tag that feels good on your work. And that's one of the reasons why we place so much emphasis on mission, right? On really getting clear on what your offerings, on what your brilliances are, on what your skills are, and on how that makes its way into your work. It allows you to see your value. So again, your offerings and your income streams are going to be 100% based on your vision, your mission, your target audience. I really want this to hit home for you. It's so important. And I have to share with you that it makes me really sad when I see entrepreneurs or other leaders out there create programs or products or events or conferences or performances, whatever their offering is, that are based on what they think they should offer instead of what's really in their hearts. Now, as you'll be learning today, when you create offerings, you don't want them to be based on shoulds. When they're based on shoulds, it's just that much harder to sell them or be successful with them. So even if you are somewhat successful, if your offerings are misaligned, if your programs, your products, your services are misaligned, then I guarantee you, on a certain level, you're not going to feel personally satisfied. And I want to give you some examples of this so that you're really clear as we move into this. So a couple of years ago, I offered a program called the Women's Intuition Program that I know actually some of you who are here in your sacred business participated in. And that program was a 12-week program, and it had some of the same principles that we look at in this program. And I offered the Women's Intuitive Leadership Program for years, and I loved it. I loved it so much. when I first began offering it. It was so aligned with my vision and my mission and who my ideal client was and just really what I loved to do. And that program filled up completely every single time I offered it. It was filled to the brim. But at a certain point, I began to move on from that exact content, from that exact material that I was teaching in the Women's Intuitive Leadership Program. What I was meant to share and teach others had really expanded from that original material. I knew this in my heart, but the old Women's Intuitive Leadership Program formula just worked so well that I didn't change it. And the program continued to fill. Well, as it continued to fill, I didn't listen to my own advice, this advice of really making sure that your offerings are aligned with who you are, with your sacred purpose. Even though I marketed the program like I always had, I couldn't fill the program. I got to a point where, for whatever reason, that program did not want to be filled. I couldn't fill it to save my life. And the reason is because my energy wasn't behind it anymore, right? So all of the marketing was the same, but my energy wasn't behind the offering anymore. I didn't feel passionate about that offering anymore. It wasn't aligned for me. Luckily, I was able to recognize this pretty quickly, and I made a couple changes to the program. And I expanded it, and within a month, that program not only filled, but it doubled. So whereas I was usually filling it to about 15 women, the new program filled to 30, just like that. So I want you to really take this in, because it's not that my marketing changed so much. Yes, marketing was a piece of it that finally allowed me to continue to fill the offering again and allowed it to double. But what really changed was my attunement, my alignment, my connection to the offering. I made it more aligned with who I am. I made it more aligned with my sacred purpose. Now, another example is that for me and my life, it's not aligned for me to teach in the evenings. Like every now and again, I might do an in-person thing in the evening, but I don't want to offer a full-fledged program in the evening, even though people ask me to do it all the time. Because at this point in my life, that's not going to work for me. I've got a 4-year-old at home, right? So even if an offering at night, a program at night would quote-unquote make me money, in the long run, it would drain my energy. I would resent it because it wouldn't be aligned with who I am. It wouldn't be aligned with my sacred purpose. So I want to stay away from that. So as you move through this week's material, what I want you to know is that your goals and your offerings are going to change over time. So what that means is that as you and your work and your business grow, as you develop as an individual and as an entrepreneur, your offerings are going to change and your goals are going to change. And again, I tell you this to give you permission not to go into perfectionist mode. I give you permission not to get stressed out over getting it right. So your offerings and your goals aren't tattoos, right? They're not inked on your body forever. They can change and they will change. And even these days, you can laser off tattoos. So my current offerings are very different than they were a few years ago. And my current rates are very different than they were a few years ago. My current income goals or how many people I want to serve are very different than they were a few years ago. And my content is also different than it was a few years ago. I've changed, I've grown, and I've developed, and therefore so has my business and my work. So again, this is permission to just let go of the perfectionist and instead instead of letting your perfectionist get the best of you as you do this work, I want you to have fun and be playful while creating your offerings. That's where the juicy energy is going to be, and that's also where you're going to discover what your authentic offerings are. So as we look at how to create your offerings and your goals, I want you again to activate that law of adaptation. I want you to activate the law of adaptation. So if you hear something that applies to you, but it's not exactly in your line of business or your line of brilliance, make it work for you. We've got so many different types of businesses in this program, and I'm going to hone in on as many of the types of goals and offerings as I can in the time that we have, but I'm not going to be able to cover all of it. So you're going to want to adapt the information that you hear, and then we've got Q&A time at the end of this call and next week. Okay, so where you want to start with offerings, which again are your specific programs, services, and products that are your income streams, they're the things that can be monetized, right? So that's how I want you to think about your offerings. So we're not looking today at websites, because websites are a marketing tool. We're not looking today at blogs as offerings. Unless you're literally making money from the blog itself, the blog is a marketing tool. The other thing that we're going to be taking a look at in terms of your offerings is what you would like to put out into the world over the next 6 to 12 months. So as you create your offerings, I want you to think about these aren't offerings that you plan on rolling out in 18 months or 2 years from now. These are offerings that you want to roll out in the next 6 to 12 months. And the reason why we're looking at this particular time frame is because too often you can get caught up in planning what you want to have happen far into the future. And then what happens is that you neglect what you can start doing much sooner. And when you do that, it's a form of self-sabotage and of distracting yourself from the possibilities and the opportunities that are available to you right now. So I want you to keep that in mind as we look at offerings. Now, there are three components to any type of offering. First component is your subject matter or your content. The second component is how your content is delivered or the format. And then the third component is your pricing or your rates. So let's look at the first component, which is your subject matter or your content. No matter what kind of work that you do or that you want to do, there is subject matter or content involved in it. And the way to get clear on what your subject matter or your content is to create a brilliance-based system. Your brilliance-based system is an easy-to-understand process and description of the content of your offering and how the content is going to help your ideal client move from where they are now to where they want to be. So your brilliance-based system is an easy-to-understand description of your content, and then how the content helps your client move, your customer move from where they are right now to where they want to be. Now, this is very important because no matter what it is that your offering is, whether it's a product or a service or a program, whatever it is, your clients and your customers are coming to you because they want in one way or another to achieve something or to be in a different place than they are right now. So your brilliance-based system is going to help you get clear on how you do that for them. Without a brilliance-based system, it's hard to describe why your offering is of value and what your offering is all about in a succinct and powerful way. So when you have a brilliance-based system, you have a process. There's structure behind the work that you do. So even if your work is more organic, even if it feels like whatever it is that you do is almost like sort of magical, like it just happens and you don't want to take that mystique away from it by explaining it in a system, you still want a little bit of a system. You still want some structure behind it. Because when you go to market your offering, having a process that you can talk about, having a structure, will really, really help. And I know this firsthand from my work as a ritualist. So in the years where I was doing just ritual, ritual is so intangible. It's like transformation happens, but you don't want to pin it down. You don't want to say first A happens and then B and then C. And I totally get that. But what was happening for me in that work was that without a brilliance-based system that gave me a structure, whenever someone would ask, well, what is going to happen? You know, what is this all about? What I would often just say is, well, you just have to experience it for yourself, which, of course, does not really help you explain the value of your work. By having a brilliance-based system, not only do you have a way of explaining your value to others, but it helps you connect more deeply into the value of your offerings. So let's look at some examples of what a brilliance-based system can be. And we can even take this program as an example. So the brilliance-based system for the Your Sacred Business program is step one, you create sacred purpose. Step two, you create your offerings and your goals, right? Some point of the process, we look at befriending your fears. Another part of the system is the marketing formula. Another part of the system is how to write copy that really allows you to make your offerings. Each of those pieces are part of my brilliance-based system. It just so happens for this program, because it's a group program, I'm taking you through that system each week. We, you know, is dedicated to its own separate topic, and we're doing it in an order. But when I work with my private clients or with some other programs, we may not do it exactly in this order in this way. But this is the underpinnings, so that when I talk to somebody about this program, I can explain to them how the program is going to support them in building their work, in building their visibility, in selling their offerings. I can list each of these pieces that we're going to work on. So what I'd like for you to do for homework, and you're going to get a worksheet on this, is to create your own brilliance-based system. So the way that you're going to do that is, number one, I invite you to think about your process. Okay, so for example, if you're a yoga instructor, it's not just that you teach yoga, right? It's part of your process that you create a certain atmosphere or a sacred space. Is part of your process that you do a physical assessment or a body assessment? Is part of your brilliance-based system that you work on the breath and there's an emphasis on breathing exercises? Right? Or let's say you have a product. Let's say your product is baked goods. So it's part of your brilliance-based system that you use organic and locally grown ingredients. Or as part of your brilliance-based system that you're using grandma's secret Italian recipes. Or as part of your brilliance-based system that in the packaging there are inspirational sayings and reminders to give thanks for the meal. Or for the baked goods, as part of your system that you deliver the food to women's homes or their offices so that they could get good food on the go, right? All of those pieces, even though it's a product, those are parts of your system. Those are pieces that help your customers get you from point A to point B. So as you think about your process, I want you to, number one, keep your ideal client in mind. So what is it that you do that he or she really loves or would really find of value because it helps her get from point A to point B? And then I want you to keep your soul-centered mission in mind. So what are the special talents that you add into the mix that are content-based, that are based on content? So, for example, do you use special organic oils if you're a massage therapist? Is that part of your system because you have knowledge of different types of oils or different scents? Do you do a special kind of assessment that you bring into your work that you don't even think about it as part of your system? You just do it like clockwork, but this is another piece of added value. It's part of your mission. The next piece, after you've laid out, you've thought about your process, I want you to ask yourself, is there an order to the process? And a great way to do that is to think about, if you've already been working with clients, your three favorite clients or customers of all time. How did you help them? What were the steps that you took? Was there an order? And then finally, for each of the steps, I want you to write two sentences for each step of your brilliance-based system and describe why. It's a vital part of this system that helps you bring your customers or your clients from point A to point B. So if you're delivering your product so that women can have good food on the go, a sentence about why that's important. Okay, so the brilliance-based system takes care of the first component of the offering, which is the content. From there, we move on to the second component of your offering, which is how your content is delivered. The delivery. So what does that mean? It's your format, right? So for example, in this program, in the Your Sacred Business program, the format is 10 topic calls and 3 Q&A calls. The format is there's an online Ning forum for Q&A, so on and so forth, right? For if you work with people, private sessions, the format might be 6 sessions within 3 months that are 90 minutes long. Are they in person? Are they over the phone? Right? So there's different, so I want to talk now about how the content is delivered. So if your soul-centered offerings are a service, and let me tell you what I mean by service. By service, I mean that you either work with clients privately or in a group. So that would be if you're a coach or a doula or a nutritionist or a real estate broker or yoga instructor, you get the picture. So that's a service. Then what I want you to do is as you create your offerings this week, if you offer a service, I want you to create at least one, but no more than 3 offerings. Right? So it might be that you've got 3 different levels of the kinds of sessions that someone can buy from you. Or maybe you have a group program and 2 different levels of private or whatever it is. Now, as your business grows, then the number of offerings that you have may or may not grow. and that's okay. But for now, I want you to focus on 1 to 3 to keep it real easy to work through and to manage. So what I want you to think about as you create the format of your service-based program are some of the following questions. How many sessions? How long are sessions? What else is included? Do you travel to people's homes? Does your offering include email check-ins or email support? What are the other services that are included? And a great way to begin to figure out what you want the format of your programs to be is to ask yourself the following question. Let's say that you're a yoga instructor and you had the opportunity to work privately with your guru, like the most amazing yoga instructor ever. What is it that you would want in a program from that person or an offering from that person? What would you want that person to offer you? Chances are what you would want from someone else is exactly what your ideal client wants from you. So that's the first question I want you to consider. The second question I want you to consider as you create the format for your offerings is, how do you really want to work with your ideal clients? How is it that you really want to work with your ideal clients? And I want you to just throw any shoulds, I should do this or I shouldn't do that, out the window. And I want you to go with what it is you really want instead of what you think you should do. So, for example, let's say that it's a standard in your industry to offer in-person VIP time with a private client, but you really just don't enjoy in-person VIP time, then I don't want you to add that into your offering. On the other hand, if you have something really special that you love to do, and maybe nobody else in your industry is doing it, and you know that this thing is going to bring so much value, then include it in your program. So, for example, as I mentioned earlier, I'm trained as a ritualist. And while people normally wouldn't think about business coaching going along with ritual, because it's part of my mission, I add ritual into the mix when I do business coaching. It's one of my brilliances, and it serves my clients really well. So I want you to think about how is it that you want to work with your people. And I want you to include those pieces in it. Now, I want to talk for a moment for service-based industries, service-based entrepreneurs who are offering what I like to call, quote-unquote, the one-off session. So what's a one-off session? Well, we can use the yoga instructor as an example again. Let's say that you do private yoga sessions and you do one-offs. So that means that people pay you session by session. They sign up for one session and they have it, and then they maybe schedule a next session and they pay you for that session, and it's just kind of pay as you go. So if you are working on a one-off session model, and you feel that it's not working for you, you're not bringing in as much business as you like, you're not earning as much as you like, or you feel like you're wasting a lot of time marketing, what I really want to recommend is that you add in offerings that are more packages. Okay? So a package might be, 6 sessions to be used in X amount of time. 6 sessions to be used in 3 months, for example. The reason why I really highly, highly, highly recommend doing this is because, let's be honest, whatever kind of practitioner you are, no matter how good you are, it's really difficult to create big and long-lasting change from one session. It serves your clients so much more when they can make a commitment to working with you over a period of time. Yet so often what happens is that we offer the one-off session, the pay-as-you-go, because of fear. Because we're scared that if we ask someone to make a bigger time investment or financial investment or energetic investment, that they're not going to want to do it. And so we don't serve as fully as we can and in the ways that we want to. The other reason why I highly, highly recommend having some kind of package or, you know, program with more than just the one-off session, if you're service-based, is because it's just going to make your life easier when it comes to business. It's going to allow you to leverage the marketing that you do for more income or sustained income over time, so that you don't have to worry each time, how many new clients do I have to attract in this month? Because people are just paying as they go. But when people invest in more of a commitment with you, then you're really leveraging the time that it takes to bring a new client in, plus you're just giving them so much more value. Now, if you decide that you just absolutely need to offer the one-off sessions, my request is that you increase the rate of a one-off session, of a single session. So that you have maybe one or two packages where, you know, you get a discount if you buy in bulk or invest in the program, whatever it is. And if you feel that you really also need to offer the one-off, that it's at a higher rate. Now, for some of you in this program, your offerings are product-based. So, for example, maybe you're a designer. Right? So as you work on your offering this week, I want you to think about your clothing line. How big is it? How many pieces are involved in that clothing line? If you're a writer and you're writing a new book, your book is your offering, it's the product. So I want you to think about, is it a single book? Is it a series? I want you to think about the book holistically as a product. If you're a performer and your offering or your income streams are about your next album, then I want you to think about what is included in that album or what's the scope of your next performance. Will you perform with a band? Will there be a light show? Will there be an opening act? Right? I want you to think about your offering holistically. Okay, great. So now the third component of creating an offering, we've looked at content, we've looked at format, now we want to talk about rates. So once you've created the content for your offering and once you've figured out, okay, this is the format for the offering, then how much does it cost? And this can be a difficult moment for some people to price your offerings in a place that's really aligned for you and a place that feels really good for you. And this goes back again to value. How much are you valuing yourself and your product or your service? So the rule of thumb that I like to give when you set your rates is as follows. You want your rate to be high enough that you feel like you're stretching, that it feels like a little like, wow, okay, I'm going to offer that rate. It feels a little high, but I'm going to do it. So you want it to be high enough that you feel a stretch. But you don't want it to be so high that the feeling is, I'd rather die than charge that amount of money. Okay, so that's where you're going to find the right rate for you. If you set a rate and it just feels so easy peasy, no big deal, chances are you're probably setting your rates a little bit too low. If you set a rate and it feels like you're going to have a heart attack, even just uttering the number to a prospect client, chances are for right now, until you work more on claiming your value, it's probably set a little bit too high for you. Okay, beautiful. So you're going to be getting a worksheet. In your worksheet, you're going to be led step by step to create your soul-centered offerings. Now, I want to talk a little bit about goals. So once you're clear on what your offerings are, then you can begin to get clear on your goals. So when I say goals, what I mean is your specific income goals for the year. And this is how you want to create your income goals. The first question that you want to ask yourself is, how much income would I like to create in 2013? How much income would I like to create in 2013? Or over the next 12 months, because we're already 3 months into the year. Right? You want to get clear on that number. That's step number one. Step number two is you want to take a look at your offerings that you've created and your rates. And you want to get clear on how many of each one of your offerings you're going to need to sell in order to get to your income goal for the year. So how, for example, how many clients do you need to bring into your offerings to reach that income goal? Or how many stores do you need to sell your clothing line to? Or how, you know, how many pieces of clothing do you need to sell in order to reach that income goal? Or how many performances do you need to have to reach your income goal? How many people would need to be at each performance? How many copies of whatever your product is would you need to sell in order to achieve your income goal? So you might say, I need 3 people in my gold program. Each one of those people will pay $10,000. So 10,000 times 3 is 30,000, right? Let's say 30,000 was your income goal for the year, right? Or if you have more than one offering, you'll say, I need 3 people in my gold program. Each one will pay 10,000. The total of that will be 30,000. And then I need 2 people in my silver program. Each silver program is 5,000 each. So that's 10. That's an additional 10. And that equals the 40 that I set for my year, for my income goal, right? So this is about getting as concrete as possible with your numbers. And I realize, depending on what your offerings are, this is going to be easier for some of you than others. So just take yourself as far into this as you can for now. Now, the third step in creating your income goals for the year is to make them 3-dimensional by adding an inner element to it. So one piece of the inner element that you want to ask is, how much time do I want to be spending on my income goal? And this is really important, right? Because if time were not limited, you could charge $5 an hour, you have as much time as you want on your hands, and you could reach your income goal. But if your time is limited, then that puts how much you charge into perspective, right? So if you create an offering and that you know for each offering that you sell, it's going to take 30 hours of your time, then selling that offering for $500 doesn't really make sense if you want to earn $100,000 for the year or whatever it is, right? There's literally not enough hours in the year at $500 for 30 hours to make that happen. So you want to ask yourself, how much time do I want to spend on my goals? The next question you want to ask yourself is, how do I want to feel as I accomplish this goal? And how do I want others to feel as I accomplish this goal? So the reason that you want to ask these questions is because when you get clear on how you want to feel and how you want others to feel, it's going to allow you to see if your goals are going to leave you harried or balanced and like you can rest. It's going to allow you to maybe set the intention to be energized in your marketing, or calm, or peaceful, or confident. And these are important things that you're going to want to take into consideration as you move into your marketing plan. You want to review your homework for this week. And this will all be in your worksheet. So number one, you're going to create your billions-based system. You're going to get clear on the content, the subject matter of your offerings. From there, you're going to create your offerings themselves, right? So you're going to add to the billions-based system the format, in other words, how you deliver your content to help people get from point A to point B, and you're going to add your rate. If you're service-based, if you're product-based too, 1 to 3 products. Product-based, you may have more than 3 products, right? Just depending on price points and what you're creating. But you want to come out with 1 to 3 offerings, knowing the content, the format, and the rates for each. From there, based on those offerings, you're going to create your income goals for the year. You're going to get clear on how many of each of those offerings you want to be selling in order to reach the income goal that you want to create for the year. And in order to figure that out, what you're going to take a look at is, how much time do you have available? How do you want to feel when you do it, right? So those are the pieces. Beautiful.
And that is our call for today. It has been an absolute joy to be here with you today and to share this material with you. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope that you do your homework. I hope that you stay on track. And I can't wait until we connect again. Have a wonderful day.